This is the sermon podcast of Jim Parsons, the senior pastor at Milford Hills United Methodist Church. For more information about our congregation, visit us at milfordhillsumc.org. Thank you for listening, and peace be with you.
Today's scripture comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21, the story of Pentecost. So hear now the word of God. When Pentecost Day arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly the sound from heaven, like the howling of a fierce wind, filled the entire house where they were seated. They saw what seemed like individual flames of fire alighting on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There was pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And when they heard this sound, a crowd gathered, and they were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native language. They were surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all these people who are speaking Galileans, every one of them? How can each of us hear them speak in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, as well as residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the regions of Libya, bordering Cyrene, and the visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Grecians and Arabs, we hear them declaring the mighty works of God in our own languages." They were all surprised and bewildered, and some of them asked, "What does this mean?" And others jeered at them, saying, "They're full of new wine." Peter stood with the other 11 apostles, and he raised his voice, declared, "Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to my words. These people aren't drunk as you suspect. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in heaven above and signs on earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness, and the moon will be changed into blood before the great and spectacled day of the Lord comes. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Amen. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, through weak human words, give us grace to hear your true and living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today is a holy day. It's a high holy day. This is the third most important Sunday of the Christian year. It is Pentecost. It's the day that we celebrate the third person of the Trinity, coming into the world to birth the church and enable the apostles to proclaim the work of God found in Jesus Christ. But shh, don't tell the world fully yet. I mean, Pentecost happens and most of us don't give it much of a thought. We know we're supposed to, you know, wear red, which many of y'all are doing today, which is a color associated with the Holy Spirit, but that is about all we tend to do in the church. I joked last Sunday for Youth Sunday that I was the CEO of CEO, which means Christmas and Easter only worship. My character, the judge there, created a church where they only celebrated those two holidays, one after each other, every single week. And I joked that there would probably be people who prefer that type of worship. Each week, we would celebrate God's gift, the birth of his son, Jesus, and then the following week, the resurrection, which gives us our salvation, followed by the birth and then resurrection, over and over and over again. The other 50 weeks of a year really pale in comparison to those two holidays. And the truth is we like these celebrations, these stories, because they have a beginning and a middle and an end. Christmas. We know that story. Mary and Joseph are traveling to Bethlehem, end up giving birth among animals, place Jesus in an animal trough, and shepherds see angels sing, and then they come and they worship this newborn king. There's a beginning and a middle and an end. Easter. Jesus died on Friday, and then Mary and others, depending on what gospel you're reading, they come to prep his body, and they find that the tomb is empty. There's angels, and the disciples learn about this, and in John, Mary, in the Gospel of John, Mary talks with Jesus and goes away singing praise. There's a beginning, and there's a middle, and there's an end. Sure, the story continues, but Jesus is only birthed and only raised from the dead once. The effects of these stories of Jesus go on, but they do seem to be kind of self-contained. Today's is a lot messier and full of mystery. And when I say mystery, I mean the mystery of meaning. We know at the day of ascension, Jesus tells the disciples that they should wait, for there's a gift that is coming. But there isn't much more known. What is this gift going to look like? I mean, what will this gift do? What will it mean to these 11 disciples and to all the other followers of Christ? Then we get to the scripture today. It doesn't get much clearer. A sound of a rushing wind comes in, and then tongues of fire are seen on their heads. They start to speak different languages to communicate with people as they are all there to celebrate the day of Pentecost. All of them don't know what is happening. The crowd, some of them think that they're drunk. It all seems confusing, messy, and mysterious. With Christmas, there's a baby. With Easter, there's an empty tomb. With Pentecost, there's an invisible wind that grants gift of speech and empowers the disciples to speak out about the work of God. That is a little harder to nail down and to, you know, wrap a mattress sail around for the rest of the world. Pentecost comes and goes without the world knowing, but we, as followers of Christ, disciples of Jesus, should always recognize what is happening in this moment. The day of Pentecost is a Jewish holiday that brought people back to Jerusalem 7 weeks after the Passover to celebrate the gift of the law. For the first century Jew, Pentecost helped define people, helped define who they were. This is a celebration, as we see in this picture here, of Moses bringing down the law of God from Mount Sinai. They're people of the law. And this day helped them give them their identity. It helped them know who they are. Today, many of us may know the day of Pentecost is like the church's birthday. We may know it as the Sunday to wear red. However, do we think about this day as the day that defines us as a people? Is this the Sunday that we point to and says, this Pentecost is what gives us our identity? I would guess many of us wouldn't. But shouldn't we? This is the logo of the United Methodist Church. Our main voting body, the church council, voted that we are staying United Methodist and will be becoming a light and became a lighthouse congregation to express to the community that this is a safe place to come and to know that disaffiliation is not being discussed or considered here. We are staying with the cross and flame. The two flames on our logo represent the two denominations that came together in 1968, the United Brethren and the Methodist Church. We merged together to become the United Methodist Church. You can see that those double flames are kind of mirrored in our own church's logo. We use the flames of this logo to remind us today of Pentecost. As it explains about this logo online, this is what it says. The insignia of the United Methodist Church is a cross linked with a dual flame, a powerful reminder of who we are in Christ. It relates the United Methodist Church to God through Christ, the cross, and to the Holy Spirit, the flame. A reminder of Pentecost, when witnesses were unified by the power of the Holy Spirit and saw tongues as of fire in Acts 2:3. There's a part that stuck with me as I read that description of our logo. Witnesses were unified by the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, look at all the languages that are spoken by the disciples there in Jerusalem on this day. The crowd was saying, how can each of us hear them speaking in our native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, as well as residents of Mesopotamia and Judah and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the regions of Libya bordering Cyrene, and the visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts of Judaism, Grecians and Arabs, we hear them declaring the mighty works of God in our own language. We should know that if all these groups of people were gathered together, there were probably lots of turmoil and some infighting. I'm sure people from Cappadocia and the Parthians had a little beef going on about something. I'm sure there was something about those from Mesopotamia that angered the Elamites. I mean, we can look in the mirror and know that we don't get along when we live here in the city of Salisbury. All you have to do is read the comments section in the post of WBTV on Facebook, and you know that we see the world vastly different than each other, but yet we live right next to one another. However, in this moment, the Holy Spirit took all those differences and unified them. The Holy Spirit didn't unify them by making them all one language, one thought, and one worldview, though. Unification happened because each person heard their own native language spoken, declaring the mighty works of God. The Holy Spirit used the apostles to speak to the diverse crowd in their own language in order to bring them together. In July, I will start my sixth year as your minister, and I'm excited because I love the ministry that we're able to do together. I have not served another congregation quite like this one in all the good ways, and it makes me feel honored and proud that God, through the bishop and cabinet, continued to appoint me and my family to be here with you. What I appreciate most is that I think this congregation demonstrates to the world what church is really supposed to be like. We live in a world that tells us that we need to be focused on being just around people who think just like us. And I look around, and I, after 5 full years, know you all don't think exactly the same. We have people who don't agree politically whatsoever with each other, yet you sit in the same pews and share life together. I know some of you are from here, meaning you've always and only known how to live in Salisbury. And others of you are come here's, like me and my family, you've moved to this small city in the middle of North Carolina. Some of you are longtime members whose families helped start this church, and others are just showing up and just joining. We are slowly showing even more racial diversity, and I love that. But we have also have a way of, we've had thoughts and a way of life diversity for many, many years. We're unified together under something more important than politics and worldviews. We are united under the Holy Spirit, who calls us together to be comfortable, knowing we won't always be comfortable. And I can't be prouder of you all because of that. On the day of Pentecost, the rushing wind came in and lit the disciples on fire for God. They professed what God had done and will do to those who would listen, and that is where we want the story to end, but it doesn't. Christmas and Easter, they have a beginning, a middle, and an end, but Pentecost seems to be open-ended. Remember, this is why we are uncomfortable with the story. The mysterious things that happened is that the Holy Spirit moved among the people and change happened. And that change led to even more change, which led to even more change, which continues to lead to change generation after generation. The truth is we like God, the Creator. The Creator, the Father, that God kind of makes sense to us. The one we can see the things that God has created. We understand the Son, too. We like Jesus, born and put in and wrapped in swaddling clothes, nailed to a cross and resurrected on Easter Sunday. We can wrestle and grapple with the lessons that he taught us and struggle to live as Christ. But the Holy Spirit, that's hard to put into a box, and it makes us a little uncomfortable. The Holy Spirit can come in so many forms that it kind of boggles our mind. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. It's the one that we pray to when we want a boost of assurance of our faith or comfort and peace as we're having a hard time in life. The Holy Spirit is the advocate, which means that he comes beside us, walks with us through life. But the Holy Spirit is also the one who convicts and leads us to repentance. The Holy Spirit can hit us over the head with a metaphorical 2x4, but then also a whisper to the deep senses of our souls. We cannot pin the Holy Spirit down because this person of God, who uses all sorts of ways to speak to us and mold us, refines us, restores us, stirs us, inspires us, and so much more. And since we can't really easily name all the ways the Holy Spirit works in our lives, and only truly through hindsight can we see the wisdom, or we can see with wisdom to see the fingerprints of the Holy Spirit, how can we feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives today? I think the best way is to realize what the goal of the Holy Spirit is. This is the person of God who will make all things new. This is the part of the Trinity that will take that takes what is broken and makes it new again. The Holy Spirit restores lives, relationships, and builds new things. This is God's source of change. So when we see change in our lives, we see the Holy Spirit deep at work. At the end of August, we'll be sending three people to Kenya to visit some of the children who've been transformed by Zoe and Powers, and hopefully some people from our group that we help sponsor. I know that Diana, Ed, and Diane will see change. And it is my prayer that as they go on this vision trip, they too will be changed. The head of Zoe, as we were starting to get into this global mission, told us that anyone who goes on these vision trips will come back and annoy the mess out of everybody else who didn't go. Because all they will talk about is the changed lives that they were a witness to. A few Mondays ago, we passed out books to the students at Eisenberg Elementary School. Each student went home with their very own brand new book that was 100% theirs. Some of the kids were just so excited to get that book that they always wanted. The impact, though, goes beyond those students and this day. The staff and the parents have felt the effect of us loving them this entire school year. Eisenberg went through a really hard time in the fall, and we fed them and helped the teachers through that. We also sent snacks for teacher appreciation, and then plus these books, and plus we gave them 10 full-ride scholarships to Windshape, and they filled them with students who'll be able to come to Windshape who may never, ever have had a chance to. We are making a change in the lives of these children, and the Holy Spirit is at work through all of this. I posted this picture online on Facebook, and some of the parents of that school left some comments. And so here's two that kind of stuck with me. One said, "Thank you for everything you do for Eisenberg Elementary School. This mama appreciates all of you." And also, "Thank you so much. My daughter was the recipient of one of these books. She came home talking about Miss Diana and Miss Erin and her new book." I can't help but hear in these comments and the reaction that we have had from that school, we hear them declaring the mighty works of God in their own language. The Holy Spirit, the story of the Holy Spirit's work won't be over until there is a new heaven and a new earth. Until then, we are constantly being called by the rushing wind and tongues of fire to go out and to speak God's glory in the language of those in the community and beyond. It could be a new book. It could be snacks for teachers or breakfast for the homeless, or a smile in a conversation over a pumpkin patch. It could be knitted prayer shawls, a prayer over breakfast, or a visit from the cheer givers. It could be a welcoming smile or earnestly making someone feel welcome in a sanctuary that is new to them. It could be sharing how God is working to make you new while having coffee, or inviting someone to church that you just met while eating ice cream. The Holy Spirit works in mysterious ways to create new things all the time. May we have eyes to see all the work that is happening around us. May we have hearts to be open to listen and follow when we are being nudged by the rushing wind to do something, to say something, to share something. May we continue to reflect the nature of the triune God that we worship in everything that we do. May the Holy Spirit continue to transform us as individuals, but also as a congregation to do new and surprising things. all God's people said, amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. And we ask that rushing wind comes and the tongues of fire land on our own heads and hearts. May we be lit on fire for you and be able to share your change and your gifts, your works through your Son, Jesus Christ, with all those that we come in contact with. May we see small opportunities to be your hands and your feet in this world, in our community and beyond. And may that those opportunities transform those lives and be expressions of your grace and your love to them. Whatever language we speak, may it be one of love and grace. For that is the language that your Holy Spirit speaks to our own hearts. We ask this all in your name. Amen.